May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. So who still has their Christmas decorations up? Right? You're now a little too late. No, you can keep them up. I think I mentioned Christmas Eve. My mom got those permanent Christmas light things, those LED things like installed. I think that's because her son never came and took her Christmas lights down, so she decided to make it permanent. We get to continue. We get one extra day of Christmas this year because we're celebrating the Epiphany. We're celebrating baptism today, so we still get to wear white. We still get to do all of this. But yesterday was the 12th day of Christmas. Actually, yesterday was the Epiphany. Friday was the 12th day of Christmas. So yesterday I packed up Christmas lights and we put away the Christmas tree. And there's still things in my garage. I haven't quite gotten to the attic yet, so I get to continue those Christmas celebrations this afternoon. But for us, like, we think Christmas is December 25th. Christmas is December 25th. But for a long time, folks in half of the world celebrated Christmas yesterday, January 6th. It's roughly divided west and east, if you think of, like, the ancient world. The west started early on celebrating at the 25th, the east on the 6th. And then, like, people got together and negotiated, and they're like, we're going to make Christmas the 25th. We'll make Epiphany the 6th. But there's still Armenian Christians today in the world that yesterday was Christmas for them. So if you didn't get around to opening your gifts, if you haven't gotten around to putting your Christmas gifts up, know you're in good company. There's still people around the world. But what is Epiphany? Right? Yesterday, we celebrate the coming of the wise men. But in the Orthodox tradition, in our reading today, it's actually the baptism of Jesus. And so this seems confusing, right? Because, like, Christmas is all about little baby Jesus. Right? Jesus is born. But then our reading today is about grown-up Jesus starting his work, getting baptized. We celebrate this today at 10:30. We've got the candle lit back there. We're going to renew our baptismal vows here in just a minute. We're commemorating this by baptizing someone. In their own ways, both Christmas and the Epiphany, it's the coming of the divine. It's the revealing of the divine. That's what Epiphany means. Right, Epiphany, right, we think about it. If we have an Epiphany, we have, like, a breakthrough. That's the way that term gets used today. That term theologically means a breakthrough of the divine. It's also, in the Orthodox Church, they call it theophany, the breakthrough of God. God coming into the world in a new and profound way. On Christmas, that happens in a little baby. On the Epiphany, that happened through Gentiles, through wise men who saw God in this little baby. And in a couple hours, it's going to happen when Lucy and Sloan are baptized and God is revealed in a new way. So our readings today, right, Paul has this passage. There's this great line, into what are you baptized? If today, if the Epiphany, if the Theophany, if this Sunday is about baptism and about witnessing God coming in a new way, the revelation of God in a new way, into what are we baptized? What does this mean? Historically, the church has seen baptism in lots of different ways. Maybe you think baptism is like washing the sin away. Like we bring a kid, or in this instance, some young children who are dirty in some way, and they get washed in the water of baptism, and then they're clean. Sure, theologically that's true, maybe. Another view of baptism is that it's their initiation into the family of God. Lucy and Sloan today will become children of God. Theologically, yeah, that's true in some sense. But what I think baptism is, what I think the Epiphany is, what I think Theophany is, is us catching up with what's already true. The church catching up with what's already true. The world catching up with what's already true. If we think about any of our sacraments, right? One, we do each week confession. Right? Confession and absolution. I don't do anything when I assure you of your forgiveness. Because your forgiveness is already true. I'm just reminding you of that fact. Maybe I'm revealing to you that that's true. A wedding doesn't make people love each other. Marriage reveals what's already true. Ordination's not going to make Gavin any different than he already is. Sure, he's going to have some new jobs and he'll get to stand up here and do these things, but all it is the church catching up to what's already true. Baptism's the same way. Lucy and Sloan are already children of God. And today we get to finally catch up with what's true. The church gets to catch up with that reality. Think about the gospel today. Jesus was baptized by John, and immediately a voice from heaven, "This is my son, my beloved. In him I am well pleased." What had Jesus done up to this point in his life? He hadn't gone out into the wilderness and survived temptation. He hadn't healed anyone. He hadn't fed anyone. He hadn't died on the cross. He hadn't done anything except grow up. But in the baptism, the world caught up. The people around caught up. John caught up. The church caught up with what was already true. Jesus was and is God's Son. And in our baptism, which we'll remember today, the church, the world, we caught up with what was already true. We are God's sons and daughters. And so in that sense, right? In that sense, these sacraments aren't a goal. None of these sacraments are a goal in themselves. Right? If we think about confession and absolution, that's not a goal, right? The forgiveness is the easy part. God's already forgiven us. But that sets us free to be a people who can live as forgiven and forgive others. So that sacrament kicks off the hard part. Living and knowing that we're forgiven is a lot harder than it is for God to forgive us. In marriage, right? The marriage is the easy, well, depending on the mother-in-law. It's the living together. It's the building a life together. It's the choosing every day together. That's the hard part. The sacrament just starts it. In ordinations are easy. It's entering into the hard part of dealing with the church, dealing with you people. Amen. Amen. We're done. Baptism is easy. Two young women today are doing the easy part. They're going to stand back there. They're going to say, "Yes, I want to be baptized." We're all going to make some promises. We're going to pour water over their heads. That's the easy part. But then they get to live a life as forgiven, as chosen, as known. They get to live a life as followers of Jesus. And so we remind ourselves, every time there's a baptism, we remind ourselves, into what are we baptized? In the Episcopal Church, we have some promises that we make. Into what are we baptized? We're baptized into the life of Jesus. The baptism's the easy part. The hard part is what comes after. Living as if it matters. So if you turn in your prayer books, the hard part's also getting the page number of the bulletin right. And so it's going to say 304, but we're actually going to turn back to 292. The prayer book's the book with a cross on it. Little secret. 304 is where the baptismal promises are in the baptism service. But when we renew baptism vows, there's a couple extra things. And so there we have to go back a couple pages. So 292. I'm going to ask y'all some questions. Please stand. I'm going to help us remember the easy part. Answering these questions is easy. We wrote them down for you. You don't have to think about it. But what we do after this is the hard part. Going out and living as people who believe Jesus Christ is Lord. Going out and living as people who seek and serve Christ in all persons. Going out and living as people who love others. So, on the bottom of 292, do you reaffirm your renunciation of evil and renew your commitment to Jesus Christ?
I do.
Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and the prayers?
I will, with God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
I will, with God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, with God's help.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people, and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will, with God's help.
May Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us a new birth by the water and Holy Spirit, and bestowed upon us the forgiveness of sins, keep us in eternal life by His grace, in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.